Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, November 7th. The Board of Directors for Delta County Economic Development moved quickly to fill the vacancy of Executive Director after Trish Thibodeau resigned from the job recently. Yesterday, a press release announced that Stacy Voigt has been selected for the job. KVNF News spoke with John Gavin, President of the Board.
Well, as you all know, we were very disappointed to have Trish resign for a better opportunity at the Department of Local Affairs, because Trish did a wonderful job over the last 2.5 years. So we knew we had to find someone that could build upon the great momentum that Trish established. So we cast a pretty wide net. We had 11 applicants. And Stacy, through the interview process, rose to the top, and I think she's going to be a wonderful addition. You know, as you can see from her resume, she has a pretty good urban planning and economic development background, so we're very confident that she's got the right skills to take us to the next level.
Voigt's resume includes experience working with public and private partnerships, grant writing, business retention and expansion, as well as administration of nonprofit organizations. Gavin said she'll be ready to jump right into Delta's fast-growing economic opportunities.
Oh, absolutely. We'll pick up on the Engage Innovation Center project as a priority, as well as many other new efforts to boost the economy of Delta County. You know, we've had some good success with, being designated a rural jumpstart zone, securing grant funding for some of the new businesses in town, and, the creative industries effort to bring, Paonia on board as a space to create city. So there's a lot of things going on, and, I think generally it's all moving in a very, very good direction, finally.
Voigt's first day on the job is November 15th. Harvest time is coming to an end, and that means farmers around the state are planning for the season ahead. For a growing number of farmers, that will mean returning to their roots in an effort to conserve water, skip pesticides, and build healthier soils. Here's part two of a story by Franny Halperin of H2O Radio. Part one talked about a history of farming techniques that wastefully consumed water and utilized harmful pesticides.
That's a difficult history that Steve Ela, a fourth-generation fruit grower in western Colorado, knows all too well. For years, he farmed with synthetic inputs, but sheer frustration drove him to make a complete paradigm shift.
What I see is we're in the biological revolution now. We were in the chemical revolution before. If chemicals would be the magic bullets.
Talking with him at a Denver area farmers market where he came to sell his apples, plums, and heirloom tomatoes, he explains that applying conventional fertilizers wasn't giving him the results he wanted or helping his soils.
My background's in soil science, and I tried everything I knew. I mean, more nitrogen, more phosphorus, more potassium, micronutrients, and the trees still weren't really jumping out of the ground like we wanted to. And it really drove into me, the old organic mantra of a healthy soil feeds the tree.
So unlike Brendan, who rotates his fields, Steve began planting cover crops right in between his trees.
The other thing with our cover crops is we mow them, but we leave that mulch in place. And so that's putting organic matter back into the soil. But it's amazing, you'll mow the cover crop and there'll be this mulch on top of the soil, and within 2 weeks it's gone.
Gone because it's been broken down by bacteria, and also because earthworms and night crawlers grab that organic matter and pull it down into the soil, making pathways for water and nutrients to get right to the tree's roots.
And so if we have a healthy soil that is dynamically breaking things down and releasing things and picking things up, that it's a smorgasbord for the tree.
And while cover crops put out the banquet, just how roots take up nutrients is something we're still learning about through research. Steve says we're just at the tip of the iceberg of understanding the complexity of soil.
Yeah, and that's the exciting thing in soil science now, is we're realizing the black box of the soil. We know so little about it. It's like the Amazon rainforest. When we first went to the Amazon, it was like all these new species. And I mean, the soil beneath us is that same way.
And this soil health movement isn't just a Colorado phenomenon. According to a USDA survey report out last month, cover crop use across the country is steadily increasing, and farmers are reporting higher yields, about 2 bushels more per acre, depending on the commodity. Overall, the survey found positive results, and those farmers who used cover crops to enhance their soil were likely to continue because they saw them as an investment in the future.
We have to think long term. And it's not just about tomorrow, and it's not about yesterday. It's about tomorrow and the next year and 5 years down the road. And so the cover crops are part of that.
For H2O Radio, I'm Franny Halperin. H2O Radio's series, The Dirt, is underwritten by the One World, One Water Center, a collaboration between Metropolitan State University of Denver and Denver Botanic Gardens to raise awareness about water and the environment through water stewardship.
Funding for the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP, has been cut off, threatening the health insurance coverage for some 75,000 children in Colorado. Lawmakers are running out of time to act. Eric Gladys has this story.
On Friday, the U.S. House approved a bill to refinance the Children's Health Insurance Program, but the funding is still in doubt. 9 million children nationwide, including 75,000 in Colorado, get their health insurance through CHIP. Funding for the program expired on October 1st. The Republican bill that passed the House would offset the program's costs by slashing funding for public health services and denying health care to pregnant women and children while billing issues are resolved. According to Elliot Fishman with Families USA, it would cancel the health insurance if a marketplace premium payment is just 1 month overdue.
The estimate is that that would cut almost 700,000 people off from insurance every year if they move to that very short grace period before people are cut off.
In the Senate, at least 8 Democrats would have to join with the entire Republican majority to approve the measure, making passage of the bill very unlikely. But Fishman notes that time is running out. Since the funding expired more than a month ago, states have been scrambling to keep the program going, and some states soon will reach the end of their ability to do that.
We'll start to see families getting notices that CHIP enrollment is getting frozen or that kids with existing coverage will start to get cut off. And those notices are going to start to go out in the first states later in November.
CHIP has enjoyed broad bipartisan support since it was created in 1997 when Bill Clinton was president and the Republicans controlled both the House and the Senate. But now House Republicans insist that any new spending for CHIP must be offset by cost reductions. Fishman says that standard is not being applied to the Republican tax cut plan.
We're talking about trying to cram down these really problematic pay-fors for the Children's Health Insurance Program while not even bothering to try and fit these giant tax cuts under a deficit-neutral framework.
Proposed Republican tax cuts would add an estimated $1.5 trillion to the federal budget deficits over 10 years. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.